It all depends on your point of view. If you like cats, you think dogs are clumsy, they're a pain, they're a mess, and hard to take care of, especially a lab. Ever had a lab? If you like dogs,
cats,
they're just, what are they? They're independent. Oh, we could go there, couldn't we, Dan? If you're a Muslim, what is a Christian? Who is Christ? And you know it, to Muslims, Christ is a prophet. To many Muslims, Christ is coming back as an announcement of Muhammad's great work and his true gospel. To Christians, Christ is our Lord, and yet even to some Christians, our word, God's word is, you know,
And a little iffy sometimes.
Chicago, Illinois. An Arkansas man is alive after being swallowed by a whale on Saturday while visiting the Shedd Aquarium. Jonah Anderson, 24, is being treated for mild dehydration at Chicago's Mercy Medical Center after being regurgitated early this morning. You could laugh. The incident happened while viewing the beluga whale exhibit at Shedd. Witnesses say the whale, Pookie, came out of the pool, grabbed Henry Anderson, and proceeded to swallow him whole. Anderson remained unharmed inside the whale until this morning when he was spit back onto the viewing platform. This is the first time any of our whales have exhibited aggressive behavior, Shedd's Vice President of Communications, Andrea Schmalek, said. We frequently allow special guests to interact with the whales. Our staff even occasionally swim with the whales. This is completely unexpected. Animal trainers tried unsuccessfully to extract Anderson from the whale during the 3 days. Anderson was able to communicate with outsiders through text messages during the stay. Friends and family tell us that Anderson remained positive and relaxed during the time. He seemed relatively upbeat. Jonah's girlfriend Mary, who was with him on the trip, tells us, of course, this is not the first time. Something like this has happened. We were on a boat tour outside San Francisco last year when a whale snatched him from the side. That one scared him a bit. This time it all seemed routine. Not sure why this keeps happening. Doctors expect to release Anderson from the hospital later today. He hopes to return to Arkansas to visit his cousin Daniel, who is in critical condition following a fall into the light exhibit at the Little Rock Zoo. My mind goes back to VeggieTales. I love VeggieTales. Sorry, but I just do. And, Austin was 6 years old. We got to the tail. And by himself, on his own, have you seen? I almost showed the video, but it's like 3.5 minutes long, you know. Have you seen the VeggieTales song? Of Jonah was a prophet. Joe was coming here to sing with me. He never really got it. Sad but true. You never saw it? You need to go look it up on YouTube and watch it. It's awesome. It's fun. I think God has a sense of humor. I think he really does. But he's on a mission as well. So much so that he is so extreme with some of the things that he does that there's just no way that we can understand it sometimes and even believe it. It's at this point in Jonah chapter 2 when the fish snatches Jonah, and then he's got this 3-day stay. And you see the pictures of Jonah on the drawings, he's sitting there with his little candle going, and he's praying. It's at this point, secularism gives up on Jonah, gives up on God. We can handle the fact that he heard from God. There's a lot of religious nuts out there who can say they heard from God. We can handle that. We can handle his flight from what he thinks God wants him to do. We can handle his boat ride, the sailors' fear and anger. And we can even handle the locks, these tarot cards coming down on the deck, as they would see it. We can handle that. We can handle his hurling into the ocean. We can even handle his being eaten by fish. There's fish big enough to eat, Jonah. You've seen river monsters, haven't you? I'm not sure if this was, it was one like this, but they showed me this guy in India was eaten by fish. They knew he was eaten by fish. So the guy's name, river monster guy, he went out there tried to catch the fish. He caught one. It looked pretty much like this, but they never found the one that ate the man. Do you understand that even some Christians give up on Jonah and give up on God in this story? It's too far-fetched. 28% of Americans believe that the Word of God is literal. Not all Christians believe that the Word of God is literal. When it comes to things like the virgin birth and the resurrection, those things are hard to understand because we just don't see them every day. They're not everyday occurrences. We can handle Jonah being eaten. We can't handle God appointing a fish. The word is ordained. You ordain a fish. That's why you see some pastors walking around. Ordained pastors. He ordains donkeys, fish, and pastors. He ordains you. We don't get this idea that Jonah survived 3 days in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the ocean. That is, we don't get that a fish would hurl Jonah up on dry land. Why would any fish that size, it didn't get that size by 80 bugs. It doesn't give up its food. This is a gruber. I don't know if they eat people. That's big enough to eat a person. Jonah at the bottom of the sea doesn't make sense. How he made it to the bottom of the sea, the roots of the mountains? No oxygen for 3 days? Stomach acids? Your mind goes back, maybe some of you too, that comedian back in the 70s. And he's talking about Jonah. And he's talking about the story of Jonah, and then Jonah, the fish, spits up Jonah on the beach, and he's got seaweed wrapped around his head, and his skin is bleached white from the stomach acids, and he's standing there with a half piece of chewed seaweed sticking out of his mouth. And he's got a sign that says, "Repent!" It's fun to make fun of, but it's hard to believe. Because it's not normal. But if we don't believe this, then we can just give up on God entirely. There's angels in heaven, multitudes of angels. There's a heaven. There's a God who created out of nothing this planet and you who sit here. Moses was mentioned this morning. He went up on the mountain in Exodus 34. You know how long he was there? 40 days and 40 nights. You know how long he went without food? 40 days and 40 nights. Water? Sand. You can't live without water for 40 days. But Moses did. But if you don't believe in Jonah, you got to give up on this. On these things that God really does as miracles. You know, did you realize that Jesus' death is not a miracle? His death is not the miracle. It's grace. It's the extent of God's love. That seems like miraculous, but not when you know God, because that's his character. He goes to the nth degree. It's hard to believe in his love. It's even harder to believe in his love if you can't believe in what he did for Jonah. Yes, I said for Jonah. If you can't believe in this fish and this story, then you can't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And then Paul says, there's no hope. There's a resurrection of the dead that is much more miraculous and wonderful and free and of so much more worth than the story about a man who's eaten by a fish. His resurrection means he's going to come again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. That's love. That's all love. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming to take me away. That's miraculous. Because how does a dead man rise from the grave? You see, it all depends on your point of view. How much, Steve's going to talk about the biblical worldview. How much of a biblical worldview do you have? How much do you want to believe? It's going to depend on your point of view. We believe, this congregation believes, this church believes, I believe this is amazing, spectacular, awesome, and wonderful, and I believe every word. We believe because it's our point of view. But just like some fall short of believing the entire Bible, understand what I'm going to say. Just as some believe in only part of the Bible, some believe that they're still okay with God. I'm okay. And Jonah's thought before he took this trip was that he was okay. His point of view was, it's okay. I'm okay with God. And then the Lord, Jonah says, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Now I want you to think about the depths, literally, the depths of where God took Jonah to tell him, you're not. You're not okay. But I want you to think about this too as well. This is redemption. See, looking at this, we think about Jonah and his story and what God was doing for Nineveh. And our point of view is, this is about Jonah and this is what happens. But my point of view is, this should tell me something about me. And this should tell me something. This should give me a point of view of what God truly cares about. What is he really after? What does he want to do? This right here, chapter 2, is the apex of the drama. It's the story. It is where everything comes to bear. You're out of line. I'm coming to get you. No, wait a minute. He's a prophet and he's fine. He's okay. See, the story is about Nineveh. But Nineveh's only mentioned a little bit at the beginning, and then some at the end, and we see what happens to Nineveh, and yeah, they turn, and there's great, wonderful news for Nineveh. But most of the story is, and it's about God's redemption, by the way, of Nineveh. But it's really about God's redemption, and actually his sanctification process, his work with Jonah. He is after Jonah. And he sends the big heavy hitters, like we talked about last week. The lesson is about Jonah, and it's about his heart and his character. It's a very big story with very big dramatic scenes to tell you and me how much God adores this man and is after this man's heart. Jonah is a type of Israel. In Isaiah 49:6, it says, he says, that is the Lord, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You remember how much God loved Israel, still loves Israel. You remember how much God loves his church and loves you, the individuals in the church. And we're lights to the nations, and we're his holy people. And then Jonah says, I don't want to be the light. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I have other plans. Jonah has two significant problems. He has two significant heart problems. Let's look at a little bit of them. In Jonah 3, a little bit later, you're going to see that he says, the king of Nineveh says this, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do on them, and he did not do it. Now, you remember what I said about Nineveh. They were horrible people. They were terrible people. And this king saw the graciousness, was hoping for the graciousness of God. It reminded me of Rahab, who knew that there was a Redeemer who had chesed love. The greatest of all love. And he was hoping for that. And Jonah should know this. And Jonah was to have this heart as a prophet and go to Nineveh and preach God's love. Actually, we'll get to that in a second. He really didn't really preach God's love. We'll get to that in a second. But it displeased Jonah, this plan of God's, exceedingly. And he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? The people had repented. And Jonah's mad. This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. So you're of love, I'd rather not be. And what are the two greatest commandments? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second and the most love you. Love others. And Jonah was not like his God. He lacked love. He was also exceedingly angry. Sin number two. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? But God said to Jonah, do you well to be angry for the plant, he's going to say later? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. He had an anger problem. He had a love problem. See, Jonah's point of view in chapter 1, verse 1 is, I'm fine with the Lord. And then the Lord says, well, go, and okay, this may cause a problem, but I'm going to go because I'm fine with the Lord. That's his point of view. And then all is not well with the mariners when the mariners try to handle it. And then he says, let me handle it. Throw me over. All is not well then. He's fled and now he's handling things. And what shall we do? And he said, throw me over. And then the Lord appointed his fish. But at some point, now think about this. When he's in the belly of the fish, when he comes to his senses, when he's not being swirled around by the currents and the wind and the waves and the fish gulping out, when he's got a second, when he's got a minute, think about this. 72 hours, 4,300 minutes. When he got a minute, by the way, it only takes about a minute and 10 seconds. I timed myself in this prayer. It only takes about a minute and 10 seconds to read this prayer. He had 4,300 minutes to think about what is going on. And at the point when he was okay in the belly of that fish, he said, okay, God, save me. That's why he can say, I will see your temple again. At that point, he can say, okay, I'm in the belly of, this is not good. I'm in the belly of the fish in the bottom of the ocean, but I'm alive. And I'm okay. I will see your temple again. He remembers the Lord. His faith kicks in. Jonah begins to get it. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. God's steadfast love. And Jonah was out of friendship with the Lord. And he began to get it at that point. The danger of idols. The danger of self. The friendship was strained. Jonah's brush with death is, yes, it is a consequence. And we can look at it that way. Boy, I've been getting beat up for what I did. And there are consequences. We reap what we sow. We talked a little bit about that last week. But much more important is this, that I am after you, God says. I am after you because you're mine. And we're not in the right relationship. Your point of view is everything is okay, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you it's not, and I'm going to bring you closer to me. God has appointed the grave. He's appointed us to die. He's appointed judgment. Those are not good. Death, I've said this before, I'll say it again, death is always a curse. The end of suffering is good. But death is always a curse. When you read Ecclesiastes, the day of death is better than the day of birth. He's being cynical. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about the end of suffering. That is good. But death is a curse. And the Lord took him to the brink of death. Face it, you and I are under a very, very heavy hand. You and I are appointed to death. But we've been given a reprieve. And now we must obey through suffering. We must obey. We must, and like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I must beat my body. That's not good. But it is good. Because we've been given a reprieve. Jonah flees, and then in verse 3 he says, you cast the deep. I've been driven away. He understands that his consequences, yes, but he says, and he tells them errors, it's because of me. But later he says, you have cast me away, I'm driven away. You're up to something. And then at some point he's grateful and gives thanks. At the depth, I mean, you can't get any lower. If you went to the Mariana Trench, you could get lower. But when you're in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the ocean, you can't get any lower. And he says, he looks up, remembering the Lord, and he says, thank you. But I want to talk a little bit about, because we're only in chapter 2, we're only halfway through the story. I want to talk a little bit about confession and repentance. Let me ask you a question. Can one go without the other? Can we confess our sins and yet not repent? You've seen children do that. I'm sorry. As they have behind their back still, or in their mind, and they're ready to go again as soon as you turn your back. Or you remember repentance, stubbornly turning our way, I'm going to do this right, but never able to confess and say something about it. Remember, repentance is a change of direction in two ways. It's a change of our mind. Like in salvation, I have to change my mind about Jesus Christ. I have to change my mind about who I am. Change of mind. We can't really change our actions until God changes us and helps us by the Holy Spirit. But we have to change our mind. And then, through action, turn. For those who are unsaved, it's difficult to do either. It's a little bit easier to confess, but it's very much harder to repent and change. But confession is telling somebody about something that is really a humbling of ourselves. You know that when you say something, it's an act of faith. When you open your mouth and the words come out, it's an act of faith. And when you're telling somebody that you've done something wrong, when you're telling God that you've done something wrong, confess your sins to one another, the Bible says. We're coming to grips with our wrong. We're coming to grips with who I have been and who I am. And I'm telling you, that's the humbling part. And that's the difficult part. And really, I think it's greater than 50% of the work is in confession. So let's trace Jonah. He disobeys, he runs. He's got a lack of love, he's got an anger problem. He's cast into the sea, and there's consequences. And in his deep distress, he says he calls out to the Lord, and he cries out to the Lord. By the way, it's okay to come to the Lord after you're afraid. It's okay for him to scare you to death, and then you come. Just don't stay there afraid. And he prays out his distress, and then God hears, and he's concerned about his fear. He's concerned about his plight, and so he rescues him. He brings him up. And then the next interesting thing is, like I said, Jonah gives thanks. He says, "What I have vowed, I will repay." He's a prophet. He's been told to go, and so he's going to go. But did you ever read what I have done was wrong? I strayed. I messed up. I did this. No. You cast me away. There's some repentance going on, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot of confession. And you know what? We're only in chapter 2. So we have a clue that something's still wrong. The father cares about Jonah, but the lesson is, and he's going to show it, because the lesson is not over. Something is missing. Something is missing. In reality, you can't really have very strong repentance without confession. You can't really pay your vow without love. So Jonah has some real issues. And the Lord is going to use him to change Nineveh. And even as it was said this morning, Jesus acknowledged Jonah and Nineveh, and he says, the men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment. And so this is about Nineveh being saved. But that's not what this is about. This is about God going after Jonah's heart, because there's a problem. There's a problem. He doesn't need Jonah. Honestly, he doesn't need Jonah to go to Nineveh. He could have had one of his other prophets go. He really, honestly, he needs us. He designed it that the church is the light to the nations now. And he wants us. He designed it that he will use us. But listen, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. He wants me. He wants me to go about my business. And in my going about business, he says, okay, I have something going on, I have a work going on, and I'm going to take care of this. But listen, you and I have some dealings, he's saying to me. I have dealings with you as you're going about your business. Watch your heart, watch your obedience, and watch your attitude. He goes out, we heard it a couple minutes ago, the Lord says, go out and preach against it, against Nineveh. And he does. He says, yet 40 days, and you're going to be overthrown. He never says repent, the cartoon with the repent sign. He never says repent. He never gives him an option. He's doing what the Lord said. It's a warning. Your days are over. But then he goes up to, this, to the hill to see what's going to happen to the city. And he wants it destroyed. But God relented and Jonah's mad. But there's some clues. There's some clues why God is dealing with Jonah. And that's the negative portion of that. But there's other clues that are positive. And things that we need to take from this. Because at some point, we can't look at all of our circumstances and say, the Lord is punishing me. These are consequences for something I've done wrong. We can't do that. But in every one of our circumstances, we can look to see what God wants to do. He says in everything, give thanks. He says in all things, he works in all things. So we should be looking for the hand of God in what is happening and saying, Lord, how do you want me to adjust my heart to this situation? And he does that, he's working on us because of who we are. And this is the point I want to get to finish with. He's working on Jonah because of who he is. Jonah had faith. When he's at the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the whale, he doesn't pray to Buddha. He doesn't go to somebody else. He prays to God. His faith is aroused. He has faith before God. Jonah knew he recognized God. He knew the reasons that he was there. And that God wouldn't forsake him. He said, I will see your temple again. This man had faith. And he had faith enough to thank the Lord for what he had done. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. You see, at some point, the Lord says, Timothy writes in 1 Timothy 1:19 that some people have shipwrecked their faith. They have given it up. There's at some point, I think it's in 1 John, he says, I'm taking that person home. There's a sin that leads to death, and I'm taking that person home. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about turning people over to a reprobate mind. Those are unbelievers, but there's a point in where God says, I'm done working with this person. But he was only half done with Jonah. Because Jonah had faith, and he was his child. Who wrote the book? Jonah. And he's telling the people of the world, this was me, and this is what I was like. These are a set of consequences, and we can harp on consequences of sin all day, but that's not what this book is about. The book is about the Lord going after Jonah. One commentator says this about Jonah's faith. There is a state of heart required by God for deliverance. Jonah had to have had some state of faith for God to go after him and activate that faith and for him to remember God and look up. And then he says, it's a state of the heart produced by faith, which in the deepest distress rests upon the word and the promise of God. I opened this sermon by talking about people who can't even believe in a story about a fish appointed by the Lord. But you and I, if we have that deep of a faith, if we have that deep of a belief, when things come down, when situations rock us, we can understand that in all situations the Lord is working, he's continuing to work on our faith because we have faith. Because we have a relationship, because we are his child. And then, and it's only then, in distress, somebody's past, things are bad, things are not looking good, it's only then you can look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I will see your temple again. I will be on my knees before you again. Our relationship is not broken. I will take it one step further and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what has happened. But thank you so much that I'm in a relationship with you so vital that you come after me with the biggest fish in the world. Thank you for that relationship. Let's pray. Lord God, we do worship you and thank you. It's in great distress sometimes that we think that you're against us. We think that you have it out for us. That these are just mere consequences, and I am done, and woe is me. And yet, Lord, that's not your character. You went after 120,000 people who didn't know right from wrong. How much more will you go after your child who has faith, who remembers you, who is on a mission with you, and yet we stray? You're still so much after us. You care for us so very much. Thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you will soften all of our hearts, that we can come to a point and say, okay, Lord, I give my all. I will do whatever. I will say whatever you have me say. Help me to come to that point at all costs. We pray that we have the faith of Jonah. In Jesus' name.